You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
All right, you are Locked On Broncos. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. With me is my co-host, as always, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach, an NFL draft analyst, a Broncos guru. Luke, what's new? Are you ready to drop some knowledge?
As always, I am ready. I'm excited. It is a lovely day here in Broncos country.
Well, Locked On Broncos, you know, we're not here to just report the news. We're here to give you a more in-depth, a more analytical look at your favorite team. So please be sure to tell your friends about the show, you know, share the episodes on social media, help us get this thing going and light the internet up, because we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. In fact, today, I'm a little under the weather. It would have been easy to just skip the show, find a way to make up for it down the line. But the truth is, you know, I'm just as sick and maniacal about Broncos football as you are. And also, you know, Luke and I, we don't do this show because we want to. We do this show because we frickin' need to. And the home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom, but make sure to subscribe on iTunes, also on Stitcher for you Android users out there. With only 4 games left on the schedule, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. But because I'm not quite 100%, we're going to keep this show relatively short. But we do have a couple of primary topics to dissect today. First and foremost, and we talked about the possibility of this yesterday on Monday's show, the Broncos were awarded running back Justin Forsett off waivers from Detroit, and they placed Capri Bibbs on injured reserve. Now, we're going to break down what Forsett kind of brings to the table. But first, Luke, I thought we should talk about Bibbs, because he suffered a severe, I guess you could categorize it, ankle sprain on Sunday against Jacksonville after really handing the Broncos their one and only offensive touchdown drive of the day with a couple of big rushing plays that led to Devontae Booker closing it out with some tough running of his own, hitting pay dirt. But I think, Luke, my opinion on this is, this is a blow, losing Bibbs. I mean, Forsett is exciting. We'll talk about him in a minute. But Bibbs has really been the only one to show some big play ability in the backfield since C.J. Anderson went down, more so than Booker.
Yeah, I think the kind of the kicker is with Devontae Booker, this is the way I saw him coming into the draft, was he's a good guy for a committee. He's going to be a good support guy. He'll be a consistent veteran player, you know, 5, 6, 7 years down the line. He'll still be in the league. But the issue is, I didn't ever really see him as a guy who's going to come in and create as a main back. I always thought he was kind of destined to be part of a committee. And part of it is because he does just lack that explosive gear and burst. And he can come in and handle, you know, a fair bit of carries, but he's gonna need another back to be the lightning to his thunder sometimes.
Yeah, so far that's definitely how it's played out, and he's had some big plays of his own. He's run very tough at times, but from what I hear, the prognosis on Bibbs was kind of a 2 to 4 week type of injury. But for the Broncos, the roster needs really outweighed everything else, all other considerations, so they ended up putting Bibbs on IR. He's done for the season, but he sounds super chipper, or at least as chipper as could be expected. He tweeted on Monday, "I will enjoy the rest of the season cheering on my teammates as we win another Super Bowl." So, you know, props to him. Let's hope he gets better and you know, makes an impact next year, because I'll be honest, it was small doses, but I really liked what I saw from Bibbs this year. And the problem for the Broncos, one of the biggest ones this season, is that the injury bug has just not been kind to them. Bibbs' injury marks the third trip to IR for a Bronco back, and it really makes me wonder if the Broncos didn't maybe jump the gun here on Bibbs, putting him on IR because he was playing well. You know, let him rehab, let him recover, cut one of your 60 million wide receivers that you have on the roster. In fact, 8. Excuse my hyperbole.
Yeah, so I think that is kind of the issue here is they definitely valued that roster spot more than they valued his contributions. They felt that bringing in Justin Forsett was going to kind of replace him instead of just cutting someone else to bring Forsett on. And I think really the kicker is at this point, if they were to put him on IR and then, you know, end up bringing him off that, he has to be on IR for at least minimum 6 weeks under the new regulations governing a player's return from IR. So at this point, that would put them, I think, the divisional round of the playoffs, if my math comes out correctly, before they can activate him. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, his season is pretty much finished. And, you know, he, you know, I was down on him to start the season, but he's really exceeded my expectations. We've seen remarkable growth in him as a player. You know, my biggest knock on him was not being able to create after first contact. And on Sunday against the Jaguars, we saw him really do that consistently time and again, break through that first tackle, keep his legs turning downfield, and really make some things happen. So, you know, the Broncos are keeping 8 wide receivers. That's just outlandishly bizarre. But, you know, they obviously feel comfortable with bringing in another running back and just remaining light at that position, especially with Janovich now on injured reserve.
Yeah, and you have to also consider that if, you know, if things go the way they expect and they do make the playoffs, they do want to reserve the right to bring C.J. Anderson back to the roster, provided – you know, he's in shape to do so. And from all accounts, you know, he's kind of ahead of schedule in his recovery. So let's talk about the new – well, before we talk about Justin Forsett, what he brings to the table, just real quick, I want to talk about SeatGeek, because they are the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football games that you want to see up close and in person this season. There's still plenty of football left on the schedule, games that I'm sure you'd like to attend. It's not easy – being that the Broncos have sold out, you know, for something like, well, at least 3 decades plus in a row, they've sold out. So it's not easy at times to get tickets. And then when you do find them, you know, you get taken to the woodshed, so to speak. They're astronomically expensive. With SeatGeek, the thing is you're always going to get the best deal on every ticket because they go out and price compare for you. They search multiple ticket sites. And as you know, if you've ever bought a ticket on the internet, prices can vary depending on where you shop. But SeatGeek's always going to find you that lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, which is why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, makes it easy to go through and make your decision because you'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket that you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop with confidence. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how that works. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter promo code LO Broncos, and then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LO Broncos today. Now, Luke, let's talk about Justin Forsett. This is a guy that Gary Kubiak has a lot of experience with. Kubiak, he has experience in the zone blocking system. Seattle drafted him in the 7th round way back in 08. And Forsett has kind of bounced around the league. He played for 6 different teams before landing with the Broncos. And now, being in his 9th season, his biggest campaign came in 2014. While Kubiak was the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, Forsett eclipsed 1,200 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns, and he also tossed in 44 receptions for 263 yards. So this guy can do a lot. The Broncos really get an experienced veteran who can, you know, maybe see some of those holes that Devontae Booker has been missing. I mean, the coaches have even brought that up a couple times, that they feel like they're leaving some yards out there on the field. Luke, how are you feeling about the Forsett pickup?
Yeah, so Justin Forsett was a guy who I was really high on a couple of years ago when he was coming into the Baltimore team. I really thought he had a lot left in the tank. I even remember this was probably 2-3 years ago when the Texans had – it was a Thanksgiving Day game. He had something like a 60-yard touchdown that should have been called back. But I remember even back then thinking, man, this guy can play. I just hope he gets the opportunity. Then he gets to Baltimore. I said, you know what, this is his chance. He really gets a chance now. They had a bit of a depleted roster at running back at the time. Still do, but that's a whole other issue. Mm-hmm. And he stepped right in and made an impact. But I think kind of the tale of this one right now is that this is his, what, third team this season?
Yep.
you know, and these are teams that are not exactly doing well with running backs. You know, Detroit, they don't really have an identity, I wouldn't say, at least offensively, at running back. They haven't really settled on any one player who I see as being, you know, an NFL future at running back consistently. And, you know, Baltimore is still trying to find that guy. Is it Terrence West? Is it the rookie Kenneth Dixon? So, you know, these are things that they're trying to figure out. And meanwhile, Justin Forsett ends up at his third team. So, again, like Booker, I think he can be part of a committee. I am just not sure if I see him as a lead back. And, you know, I think luckily he's just going to have to play that stopgap role in Denver. I don't think they're going to ask him to do anything more than that.
Well, yeah, the downside with Forsett is that he's 31 years old. You know, that's typically not good for a running back being on the wrong side of 30. As you mentioned, the Ravens actually cut him twice this year. And he couldn't stick with the Lions for more than two games. So you got to wonder how productive he can be. But the Broncos obviously see something in him. There's some comfort and familiarity there between he and Kubiak and also Rick Dennison. So it will be interesting to see how much playing time Forsett gets out of the gates. I wouldn't expect him, as you say, to suddenly leapfrog Booker and be the lead guy. But moving forward, you know, all the Broncos really have to work with is Devontae Booker, Justin Forsett, and Juwan Thompson, unless they promote a guy like Terrell Watson off the practice squad or, you know, find someone else off the street, I would imagine that they'll be kind of combing the old waiver wire each and every week just in case.
Right, and you talk about Forsett, and this is a guy who, you know, he had that one season of just, you know, blowing everybody off the map, but he hasn't had a 100-yard game since midway through last season, and that was against Cleveland in a loss. You know, these are the things that you kind of look at and you go, okay, well, this is an issue. You know, he hasn't this season. He's combined for, you know, a pretty small amount from what you'd expect for a running back. 44 carries, 136 yards, 3.1 yard average. And again, this is for teams like the Ravens, who admittedly have a young and developing line. The Lions are also trying to figure out their offensive line. So, you know, these are things that you have to keep in mind. But again, you know, at this age, you kind of want that running back to produce better. The huge upside for him is that he's coming back to the system that he knows well with Kubiak. He knows this system. He knows the offense, and he knows the personnel with his head coach there. So that, to me, is going to be a huge advantage for him to step in. And really, you know, if you look back at that season in 2014, when he made the Pro Bowl, I might add, man, you know, game after game, he's making an impact. He's catching the ball. He's making an impact with the ball in his hands pretty much every way you can imagine. And, you know, this is a guy who carried the ball in one game 22 times for 182 yards and two TDs. He's 2 years removed from that. The question is, how much does he have in the tank now?
Yeah. Well, and fortunately, too, he's coming to a team, you know, still very much alive in the playoff hunt, as are the Lions, as are also the Ravens. But, you know, that familiarity and the spark that he has, obviously, and it's very, from what it seems like anyway, you know, reciprocated with Kubiak and the offensive staff now in Denver. Maybe it can be a shot in the arm. Maybe it can not only help Forsett, but also this offensive line who's really struggled. And, you know, they need a running back who has a vision, who can pick up some of those, you know, see some of those holes that develop are, you know, here and gone in the blink of an eye, that some of the younger guys are having a hard time seeing and hitting right out of the gates. Forsett has the experience of playing in that system. Hopefully he can utilize that, show some patience, and you know, help at least keep this rushing attack moving forward. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say they've been terrible. I mean, the last three games, they've eclipsed 100 yards as a team. But the problem is they haven't been efficient, Luke. They're barely clocking just over 3 yards per carry pretty much each and every game. And every one of those yards is just, you know, bitterly hard fought.
Yeah, and some of that really does come back down to the offensive line not creating those lanes and not creating up front for the running backs to be able to get to the second level. But some of that really has come from the running backs, just, you know, when it comes to Booker, just being indecisive sometimes, chopping his feet, not getting upfield. And that's really something that a veteran, you know, he knows his internal clock of when he needs to start getting upfield in the zone scheme. And that's just a boost to the offensive line. As I've said before, a good runner helps the line and vice versa.
Well, before we get out of here, real quick, Luke, I want to talk about Trevor Siemian and something that Coach Kubiak said on Monday. Of course, you know, Siemian missed his second start of the season at Jacksonville dealing with that sprained foot. But he is out of the walking boot, and Kubiak said that he hopes Siemian can play in Tennessee. Now, hope, let's face it, doesn't mean much. Obviously, the Broncos hoped Siemian could play at Jacksonville, but again, he's out of the boot, and according to Kubiak, he's moving around pretty well. It'll be interesting, I think, to see how much and whether, really, Siemian is able to practice this week. But, you know, the reason I bring this up is because Kubiak fielded a question on Monday about Siemian being kind of injury-prone, and I thought his answer was insightful. Let's listen in real quick.
He's had three things, right? He had a preseason issue going on, and he's had two things throughout the course of the regular season. So, yeah, learning how to, I don't want to say take care of yourself, but learn how to stay healthy as a player is it's an art in a lot of ways. You know, you got to know how to protect yourself and getting rid of the ball and those type of things. So hopefully he can improve upon those things. But the good news is he's not something that's missed a lot of time. So hopefully he's back here and he can take care of himself the rest of the year.
Now, we've talked before about Siemian being injury prone, you know, needing to better hone and develop an NFL body. I mean, he's kind of got the build of an MLB player rather than an NFL quarterback. But Kube alluded to something I found interesting in that clip there. The art, Luke, of protecting yourself as a quarterback and staying healthy. It can't be easy, you know, with some of the biggest and fastest and most elite athletes in the world bearing down on you each and every snap trying to rip your head off to stay healthy and to avoid getting nicked and banged up. But we saw Peyton Manning, I mean, throughout his career in Indianapolis and even in his time in Denver until that final stretch with the Lisfranc injury, and notwithstanding the neck, which he played through for a lot of years, the issues he was having with that in Indianapolis, he's a guy that, you know, he made most of his reasoned decisions, frankly, before the snap and was able to get rid of the ball, feel pressure, and all that stuff. Luke, as a guy who's coached players throughout a grueling season in a violent game like football, speak to the art of staying healthy. What does that really mean?
Yeah, well, there is an art to it, and for some guys, it just turns out to be a science. There's always the freak injuries. You know, my starting high school quarterback this season, there was one play where he was scrambling out of the pocket, gets tackled wrong, dislocated ankle, broken leg, done for the year. You know, there's just freak injuries like that when it happens like that. But they're always the guys who get, you know, there's turf toe that comes back, or, you know, oh, that ankle injury is flaring up again, or, oh man, my shoulder just still isn't right. And for those guys, you just got to keep, you know, you got to keep loose. You got to keep stretching. And really, it's when the physical therapy kicks in. I've been involved with physical therapy. I play Australian football part time. And so, you know, you get involved with the physical therapy. You know, you have your regime of stretches, and you just have to keep up on that kind of stuff, because the looser your muscles are, the less injury likelihood there is. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional.
Sure.
Like, please don't listen to me on this. But you know, it certainly does help to get yourself as loose as possible. And now there will be guys who are just injury prone, who everything seems like every little nick and cut and bruise just seems to build up into something, and then they miss games and then they miss weeks. And then that's when things start to really build up. So you really have to hope with Siemian that with this kind of series of nagging things, now you kind of have to wonder, oh, I really hope this isn't a pattern of this guy being injury prone.
Plus, a lot of it has to do with how guys are able to manage pain. You know, for example, you know, my wife can be sicker than a dog and she'll still be out doing all this stuff, you know, running the kids here, doing this around the house. Whereas I get that same bug and I'm like, you know, I'm horizontal for the next 48 hours, totally takes me out of the game. She can weather those things better than I. And in the NFL, you know, managing pain, managing discomfort also becomes key to, you know, sustaining yourself throughout the season. And with Siemian, I think some of it's been luck, and I think that, you know, as time goes on, he'll start figuring out you know, ways to avoid those type of scenarios. Some of it you're not going to be able to avoid because it is the NFL. But the good news is the Broncos, you know, in today's game, medicine is very advanced and at times cutting edge, and the treatment these guys get, you know, hopefully with Simeon, it's going to be enough, even though it was sustained, you know, barely a week ago, to get him back on track to play at Tennessee, because, Luke, I really shudder to think what could happen if the Broncos have to start Paxton Lynch again on the road against a team like the Titans, who are probably going to put up some points.
Yeah, and you look at Denver and just the strength and conditioning of this team as compared to others in the NFL. And, you know, this team, Denver, has historically just avoided so many major injuries to their guys. I mean, you look at this season, the amount of players that Denver has on injured reserve. All right, you got five, right? You got C.J. Anderson, Capri Bibbs now, Sam Brenner at the center, Andy Janovitz, and Vance Walker. Five guys, right? Pretty straightforward. You look across the division. A team like the Chargers, this is their injured reserve. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 guys.
And that's after a season where they had like 20-something go on IRs, if I recall right.
Yeah, and it's not guys that you've never heard of. This is guys like Keenan Allen, Brandon Mebane, Brandon Oliver, Manti Te'o, Jason Verrett, Danny Woodhead. They have star players ending up on this IR. And, you know, at a certain point, you have to wonder, okay, how much does their strength and conditioning come into play here? Because if guys like this are getting consistently injured year in, year out, you know, You know, if it's not the players, you got to look up the chain and you got to kind of wonder, you know, is it the strength and conditioning staff here? Because guys just get so injured so consistently.
Yeah. And I have a close friend who's just an absolute huge Chargers fan. And this guy, you know, my phone, it seems like, you know, he's blowing me up. Man, this guy went on IR. Man, we can't catch a break. This guy went on IR. And I've been telling him since last year, I said, at some point, you know, the organization needs to realize it's the strength and conditioning coach and they need to make a change, because, I mean, let's face it. How many did you say? 18 guys this year already, or 17, whatever, all on 18. IR, 18 guys. And last year it was even worse. So, you know, that's it. You know, this topic's neither here nor there, but it does go to show how important also in keeping guys healthy, having a competent and savvy, strength and conditioning staff, how big of a difference that can make.
But yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it really is the difference between keeping a roster on the field in August and in December and January.
And I think Luke Richardson, Denver's guy, has done a pretty dang good job, all things considered, in his time with the team. But listen, it's great to be a part of the Locked On podcast network. Luke and I have been with the organization now a few weeks, and with a show for each and every team, there's just a ton of amazing content getting cranked out each and every day. And no matter which team the Broncos play each week, when you want to go behind enemy lines, you want to get a better picture of the opponent, find that associated Locked On podcast. This week, obviously, it's Locked On Titans. They have three really smart dudes doing their show, a couple of writers and a former All-Pro player, so you want to check them out. We're trying to work it out to meet up with those guys at some point for some behind enemy lines action this week, so stay tuned for that. Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson is a compelling listen, as is Locked On Fantasy. For those of you that are still playing fantasy football late in the season, hopefully that means you're in the playoffs. But then again, you know, you got your daily fantasy, so, you know, there's always a hope for the fantasy fanatics out there. But that'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Broncos. Luke and I will be back on Wednesday. Hopefully I'm feeling a little bit better and kind of out of the woods. You can find Luke on Twitter, at Luke Polglaze, myself, at Chad and Jensen. We want to hear from you guys, so hit us up on social media. And, let us know how you're feeling about the team. Let us know how you're liking the show. The show's Twitter handle is at Locked On Broncos. Please give us a follow. We had to restart that account from scratch just a little more than a week ago. So help us out. Throw some follows our way. And don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.